Good morning, beloved ones. Turn to someone and tell them, I see you. I see you. Yes. I see the light that you are. I see the love that you are. I see the presence of God moving and having its being and living in and through and as you. I see you. Yes. I see God in you. Well, here we are into the second week of the new year. So how's everybody doing so far? You doing great so far? That's good. I wonder if you're still hopeful, still full of energy and rearing to get this new year started. Hopefully that you've gotten some goals and ideas, and the goals are still fresh upon your mind, right? Your intentions feel clear, still they feel clear, and your visions for possibilities are reaching far and wide and high. Lists are being made. How many people made a list? Yeah, okay, a few list makers. I've made a couple of lists. Lists are being made and declarations are expressed and affirmed. This is going to be a good year. You know, I'm going to do so and so. We're really ready to take this new year on and to meet it head on. But as I was thinking about this, I came across a very simple but very powerful expression and revelation by Albert Einstein. Now, aside from being a scientific genius, just like Tunde here, Albert Einstein was also a metaphysician, a master metaphysician. He understood far beyond what, you know, has been written about him. He understood the nature of spiritual law, and he was a metaphysician. He went beyond the literal, and he knew how to access. But this is what he said. He said, nothing happens until something moves. Very simple. Nothing happens until something moves. That's a very profound. If you think about that, this statement is true for all of creation, all of manifestation, and it is also true for your life and your affairs. Nothing happens until something moves. Now, everything, what that means to me is that everything will remain in a state of nothingness. All of your best laid plans, your desires, your dreams, your wishes, goals, wants, all of that remains in a state of nothingness until what? Something moves. Turn to somebody and tell them, get a move on. Get a move on. You got to get a move on. Nothing happens until something moves. You can be thinking about, oh, I wish I could, you know, go from here to there. Nothing will happen until something moves. Now, if you recall last week, from last week's talk, I quoted Jesus' statement that he made to Nicodemus when Nicodemus had come to him and Jesus was telling him that, you know, speaking to him about being born again, being born anew. And we were talking about our own selves being born anew and coming into a spiritual life and a spiritual understanding. And in order to do that, we have to let the spirit within us move. And so, you know, he said to Nicodemus, unless a man is born again, he won't enter into the kingdom. And Nicodemus said, well, how can a man be born again? And I read from The Message, the book called The Message, or the biblical translation called The Message. And this is what Jesus said. First, he said, you're not listening. I love that. And then he said, unless a person submits to this original creation, which means we've got to be surrendered to this original creation, he says, which is the wind hovering over the waters creation. Remember I talked about that, right? He said, unless you submit to this original creation, the wind hovering over the waters creation, which is really the Holy Spirit, the invisible moving in moving the visible, or a baptism into a new life, it is not possible to enter into God's kingdom. And I shared how he was referring to this movement of God as the activity of the Holy Spirit, this hovering, right, of God, is this moving of God, and it is this Spirit. Unless this Spirit has the ability to move in your life, to move in your being, and to even hover over you and in you, unless this animating force, this life force, begins to stimulate your inner life and it begins to stimulate your consciousness, moves in you, then you cannot enter into the kingdom of God or a kingdom of heaven consciousness. So if nothing is stirred in your awareness, nothing is moving you to a different place of knowing and being and expressing, which is of God, then you can't enter into this kingdom of heaven consciousness. That's what that whole statement that Jesus was making to Nicodemus. Now, I've been fascinated lately with this whole concept of the Holy Spirit. And it all began with my, as I said before, it began with our discovery and talking during the month of December about the Christmas story. And I had noted that every major character in the story was moved and motivated by the Holy Spirit. That nothing happened for them until the Spirit moved upon them and in them. Zechariah, right? Elizabeth, Mary, Joseph. The Spirit was moving in them. The wise men, the shepherds, all of them had something happen within them. And so I began to look about, wow, there must be something to this movement of the Holy Spirit. And I thought it would be good for us to look at this since nothing happens until something moves. So I thought, well, we want a whole lot to happen this year, don't we? So I thought, let's look at this whole concept then about the movement of God. And what better place to start than at the beginning, which we did last week. I'm reading from Genesis. Genesis 1, verse 1 through 5. And it says here, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty and dark. Darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and then he separated the light from the darkness, and God called the light day and the darkness night. And evening passed, and morning came, marking this first day. And then God said, and it goes on and on and on. So in the beginning, God. Well, that lets us know in the beginning of anything, God is there, right? In the beginning of everything, it is God first. God is there in the beginning. But I want to look at this a little bit more deeply, because it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now notice he didn't say God created what? Heaven. It says God created the heavens. Now, heaven, as we like to say, is a high and exalted state of consciousness. And with God creating the heavens, to me, it symbolizes that God created certain levels of high consciousness, the kingdom of heaven. But the kingdom of God wasn't created. The kingdom of God is God, was God, right? The kingdom of God contains these wonderful divine ideas. It is the realm of divine ideas out of which everything else comes. So the kingdom of God was not necessarily created, but the kingdom of heavens. In the beginning, God, in his absolute form as divine mind, created divine ideas, but God as supreme source, creative energy, the kingdom of God of the realm of divine ideas created the heavens and the earth, created various levels of high consciousness. That's why Jesus said, in my Father's house there are what? Many mansions, many rooms, many levels, and I'm going to prepare a place for you. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, the earth, it says, so the heavens is this realm of exalted states of consciousness. The kingdom of God is the realm of divine ideas out of which everything comes, okay? So the earth, it says the earth was void. Some scriptures say void, some say formless, and that it was cloaked in darkness, right? It was empty and it was unmanifested, formless, undifferentiated consciousness. There was really actually nothing happening. The earth is that manifest realm, but there was nothing manifested. It was just void. It was just empty. There was no manifestation. So you have the potential, the heavens, levels of consciousness. You have the kingdom of God, which is the realm of divine ideas of which all things come. And then you got the earth, but nothing's manifest. Something has to happen to get, right, the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of heaven into this manifest realm of the earth. So the earth was empty and there was nothing happening. There was nothing happening, as it says, you know, until we saw God was hovering over the deep waters of the earth, hovering over the deep and the darkness, hovering over that. And so nothing was happening except as God began to hover. That means that God was also taking, getting ready to take some type of creative and divine action. Because immediately it says the earth was void and it was empty, and the Spirit of God hovered over it, and then it says, and God said, uh-oh, creative action, some creative energy, some what? Some movement, hovering, and then God said. So there was a state of nothing in the manifest realm until something moved. Until God said, and through the energy and movement of spirit hovering, there was creation and manifestation through God speaking. And God said, let there be light, let there be land, and the firmaments, let there be animals, let there be plants, let there be trees, let there be man, let there be, and there was. And so what happens, all things we get from this, all things that are formed or that are manifested came through the creative word, right? The creative word of God that moved. And so through this creative word, through the movement of this creative vibration, you can call it the cosmic vibration that brings all things into being. Because words are what? Words are energy. Words are simply vibration, are they not? When you guys are singing, what you're doing is you are in the flow of vibration. You're singing, of course, the highest hallelujahs there are, but it's a vibration, it's an energy. And so energy moving, energy vibrating, this is what happens with the word. Nothing happens until something is moved. All things that came into being came through the cosmic vibration or the word of God. So we get that, right? Now, I want us to fast forward a couple thousand years to the New Testament. And in the New Testament, particularly in the book of John, and I'm going to be reading from John chapter 1, verse 1 through 5. You can actually read the whole thing at least, but I'm only going to read 1 through 5. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all humankind, the light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And then he goes on, all of a sudden, he switches to talking about John the Baptist, but getting back, then he gets back to this whole word, and it says, and the word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us, so that we have seen the glory of the only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So this is a powerful thing for us to understand. We started in the beginning, right, in Genesis, with God, what? Using his creative word. We come to John, and again, we're talking about the beginning and the creation, and hopefully what we're able to see that is clear to us is that the word carries the creative energy of God. Right? And it says in John that it was with God and that it was God. Now, there's a distinction between making it with God and that it was God. So it can be looked at, this little phrase can be looked at from many angles. Many say that this divine word that was with God is really speaking about Jesus since it became flesh and dwelt among us. So this word of God, and there's a word called the divine logos, which is the divine word and energy of God. So this divine logos, this word of God, some say is actually pointing to Jesus as the word of God because it became flesh and dwelt among us. And then others say, well, that may be true too, but this word is actually speaking more to the spiritual nature of man because it's speaking of man as the Christ. And that the Christ is that example, is that divine word, that divine logo, which lights what? Every man, woman, and child. So what was created then in this word is the Christ spirit, not just the spirit of Jesus, but the Christ spirit that indwells all of us. And some say, well, no. This concept of the word that's been spoken here is really talking about the Holy Spirit as the creative word of God. Because it says it was, you know, he was with God and was God. And the he, they personify this he who was with God as the Holy Spirit, giving it a personification of being. So it doesn't matter which one you know, because people love to argue about, well, which one is right. It doesn't matter which one is right. The essence that we should get is that somehow the word is vital to creation, right? Especially the spoken word, because it says God said and there was. So the spoken word is somehow vital to creation and manifestation, because the scripture said that no thing came into being without it. Nothing. Einstein said what? Nothing happens until something moves. And what moved in Genesis was the cosmic vibration of God's word. And God said, and there was. So it tells us something about our relationship and how we can become co-creators as well. So with all of our plans and our goals and our stated desires, our intentions, and even our affirmations and the spoken word that we may utter, you would think that something would happen just by speaking it. See, a lot of times, you know, when we try to explain truth to new people, it sounds very lighthearted. Like, oh, you mean I just have to say something and then it happens? Well, in a nutshell, that is true. But you have to watch the vibration in which you say it, the belief in which you are saying something, the consciousness behind your words. All that plays a part. Because if you're just saying it like this, well, what you're really saying is, I don't believe it, even if you're affirming it. So it's not just this literal, see? We're, as metaphysicians, we're beyond the literal. It's not the literal. It's what's underneath that literal that counts. So it's not just about speaking it, because what happens is we don't lay hold of that creative world, right? We don't, our world is not, our word is sort of weakened. It's not strengthened by truth. We allow it sometimes to be weakened by doubt, weakened by, you know, a lack of faith, weakened by erroneous beliefs, weakened by human consciousness, weakened by our past experiences and our conditioning and our fears and our programming and all that stuff. And so our words, they can form things, but they're not creative. They don't create anything that is lasting and is of God, because they're not coming from that consciousness and vibration. They're coming from a lower space. So here's where calling upon the eternal energy and spirit of God, here's where calling upon the Holy Spirit can actually benefit us. And it comes in handy, because the Spirit, when you call upon the whole Spirit of God in action, it's able to move beyond and through all of our limitations, all of our stuff. See, and when you call upon it, it can direct it. It's the direct movement of spirit or God that can cut through all of our limitations, erroneous thoughts, fears, doubts. You call upon the Holy Spirit, it cuts through all of that stuff. And then it is able to bring forth the stuff of God. Which is why when I'm not able, I need to bring the Spirit in there. I need to call upon the Spirit. And let the Spirit, and when I call upon the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, you better look out. I'm serious. It moves. It does. It scares me sometimes, so I have to use it very, you know, consciously. Because it moves. So this is a task. This is a gift that was given us, that we could call upon it and activate it and let it go forth and do what it needs to do. That's its job. So in addition now to us inviting it and calling forth this Holy Spirit to work on our behalf, we've got to do some things too. So we should practice imbuing our words with spiritual energy. Hold them high. Speak of God as being the substance behind your every word that is able to bring things into manifestation. So we need to watch our words, and we need to believe that there is power in our word, in spoken word. Now, there are some people, again, who don't get it and say, you mean I could just say something? No, I'm not talking about you just saying something. I'm talking about you speaking the word of God, speaking with power and authority and faith and belief, declaring a thing, calling a thing, right, that is not as though it were, and it shall be what it will be. It's that kind of energy. So we can't be just willy-nilly. It's not about all that. You got to stop using your words willy-nilly, and we all do it, just throwing it around, putting some negativity behind our I am statements. All of that stuff keeps weakening the word. And we need to retrain ourselves to speak powerful, creative words. Retrain the mind that says, you know what? I can move heaven and earth through the power of the word that moves in and through me. I can move heaven and earth through that creative power of God, through the energy of God, through the divine word of God, through my words, through the creative divine ideas of God. See, here's how the creative process works. God is divine source. You could say the divine mind. What God does is God ideates, which means God creates ideas. We think God creates, God ideates. I want you to get that difference, okay? We work with thoughts, but you didn't come up with a new thought yet. Right? Because everything we said has already been created. It's already been thought of. So God ideates. As divine mind, God ideates and creates what? Divine ideas. And within these divine ideas, they are whole. They come whole and complete. They're infinite. They are eternal. And they're whole and complete in and of themselves. So, you know, we didn't develop the idea of love. Love is a divine idea. It had nothing to do with us. If it did, it would be conditional. It would have, you know. No, divine love is totally different, right? Peace, joy, all those things that are divine ideas, we don't have anything to do with. They are. They've already been created in the kingdom of God consciousness, in the absolute. But we can bring them forth into our expression through this creative process. So, divine ideas are created and held in God mind. They're created by divine mind. Divine mind creates the idea. And through this idea, what happens is this idea begins to move from into our consciousness. And we'll talk about the process of how it moves. It moves through our focusing on it, through our meditating on it, through our calling it forth, through our speaking it into being. But these divine ideas then begin to move into our consciousness as thoughts, which then get expressed or moved into expression by the whole Spirit of God moving, by the Holy Spirit. So we have divine ideas coming into consciousness as thoughts in us, and those thoughts get moved into expression. We call it the mind, the law of mind what? In action. Thoughts held what? In mind, produce after their kind. This is the creative process. So it isn't just a thought you think and a word you speak. You got to have it in consciousness. You've got to hold it in consciousness. So it generates a substance and an energy. Your words then are dripping with the substance of God, with the creative energy and force of God, not just some willy-nilly one-time spoken word. No, it's a consciousness that you're holding. It's a faith. It's a belief, right? So when you do this, this law of mind action then begins to start to work on you. When you turn your awareness, your consciousness towards God, towards the truth, towards these divine ideas, and you dwell in them, not just visit them, but you dwell in them and you abide in them. You abide in this creative word. You abide in these ideas. Then as you abide in them and you dwell in them, then they begin to descend into your consciousness. And then when they're in the consciousness, the whole Spirit of God begins to move. And they begin to move, it begins to move them into your manifested world. Heaven begins to move into the earth, into manifestation, into your life, into your affairs. It's a powerful process. Thoughts held in mind produce after their kind. So we're working on consciousness. And here's another practice that we could do. Take any divine idea of God. Maybe it's peace. Maybe it's wisdom. Maybe it's inner strength. Maybe it's love. Whatever it is, wholeness. Maybe you need abundance. See, whatever the divine ideas of God, take that idea, pick one, and begin to dwell on it. That is, meditate on it. Hold it consistently and deeply in your consciousness. Maybe do it for a week, a month, a day, however, but work with that idea. And stick with that, dwell with this idea, and meditate on it until this word or this idea becomes quickened in you. See, this is now another spiritual activity that happens. It's a quickening. Now, this quickening is when the Spirit of God starts to move within you. You're dwelling upon this word, holding it in consciousness, feeling the vibration of it, letting the vibration begin to move, and you will be quickened. When you are quickened in your spirit, that means spirit is starting to move in you, upon you, through you, through your life, through your affairs. It begins to manifest. It begins to bring this whole creative process as a living reality for you, as an experience, not just no longer a thought, but an experience. We want to experience the goodness of God. You want to experience God. You don't want to just think about God or talk about God. You want to have a living demonstration, an experience of God. That's when you're quickened. All of a sudden, spirit starts moving you and moving things into your life and into your affairs by holding this creative word of God. Now, what I'm telling you is how to become a master metaphysician, friends, and how to move from pipe dreams and plans and all this stuff to the actual energy and spirit of God being present as a movement and a manifestation. Bringing these ideas, these thoughts, these wants, these wishes, these visions, this declaration, bringing it into manifestation. The Apostle James said this. He said, "Be ye a doer of the word and not a hearer only." See, sometimes we want to just hear the word. I love it that you come on Sundays to hear the word. I would be so sad if you didn't come. But we got to be more than just hearing the word. You have to be a what doer of the word. Something that you hear must move you to do, move you to act, move you to be. The truth that you hear Sunday after Sunday is wonderful. But if you're not doing the word, it will be all for naught. You've got to do it. Live it. Let it become a living reality in you. This is powerful stuff that we have here, that we've been given. So this is when you start to allow this wonderful word to be quickened in you, that means spirit is moving. So if you have written down your goals and your intentions and your desires for this new year, that's wonderful. But here's another step that you can do. Speak them aloud. Speak them aloud, and not just by some old rote, "Well, God, I want a new car. I want to get a new house. I have a new house now." No, speak the word boldly. You got to come boldly before the throne of God, right? Come boldly. Speak with power and authority. Jesus said, "My words, they are life and they are spirit." They have life. You got to use your word as if it has some kind of life. You got to bring it to life. Speak it. Speak it. Call it forth. Call all these dreams and this list that you may have. Call it forth through the power of your spoken word. And you might want to do this daily. Speak them daily until you can feel the quickening of the spirit beneath them. That's when you know you're onto something. When you speak your word and you feel a quickening. Sometimes, whoa, yeah, you know. That's when you're praying and you get a little, whoa, okay, all right, it's done. You had a quickening. You had the movement of spirit. And so this is what we have at our disposal. We can speak the word, we can write it. And here's another thing that we can do. Another way to be present to the Spirit of God is through, and you know I'm going to bring it in there at some point, is through meditation. So we're going to speak the word, but here, through meditation, because it starts what? Held in mind and consciousness, concentrated energy and thought. But so this is another way. It is to be present to the Spirit of God through meditation. That is sitting with the intention to be filled with the Spirit. Sitting with the intention that you go, this is what Mr. Fillmore said, I'm going to sit here and wait. If there's a God, I'm going to sit here every night and wait for God. And he did. He said, until God speaks to me, moves me, I'm going to sit here and I'm going to wait. So this is another practice, sitting and waiting. Waiting for God, waiting for the movement, waiting for the quickening. You got to wait for it. Wait for it. Isaiah 40:31 says, they that what? Wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up with wings as eagles, right? And they shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and faint not. That's a whole lot of movement. When you're sitting and waiting, at some point when you're quickened, you're going to mount up with wings as eagles. You'll begin to soar. You'll begin to do. You'll begin to run. You'll begin to walk. All of this, when you wait for the Spirit and you get that quickening Spirit, then it's time to move and act. And you won't even be able to contain it. You'll have to just be, woo, waiting on that presence of God in you to go forth. This is such a powerful thing. Jesus said, if you abide in my word, that is wait, if you abide in my word, that divine logos, if you abide in the Christ of you, then you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. See, we quote, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. We forget the first part. The first part of that scripture says, when you abide in my word, then you're truly my disciples, and then you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. When you start to abide in this Christ consciousness and begin to express Christ ideas, Christ thoughts, Christ feeling, Christ love, Christ spirit, you begin to abide, then all of a sudden you'll be able to move heaven and earth. You'll be able to do these things, and greater things shall you do than even Jesus. Moving the invisible into visibility, manifesting and moving heaven upon the earth, the absolute into the manifest realm. So start this new year off by getting your mind and heart and spirit right. Dwell in the creative word until you are quickened from on high. And when you are quickened, then be prepared to move with the Spirit. When the Spirit says move, you need to do what? Move. You got to keep and keep up. Because sometimes the Spirit moves so behind. Oh, I can't keep up. It's so good. You got to keep it moving. Turn to somebody and tell them, keep it moving. Blessings. Namaste. Blessings, blessings, blessings. Blessings. Namaste.